Hey guys, it's Emily, the controversial mom. A couple weeks ago, I talked about RFK's effort to remove synthetic food dyes from our food supply, and I want to expand a little bit upon that and really talk about how he's delivering on the MAHA promise. So Make America Healthy Again encompasses a whole lot of efforts, and I truly did not understand how many things that they had going on until I perused the website earlier this week and was blown away by how much is actually going on. So I want to hit on a couple of things that they're doing really at a national level and then talk about how this is having a state level impact and how states can get involved. So the first big thing I want to talk about from a federal level is that RFK, the lead for the FDA and the lead for the NIH, have all come together and agreed that the COVID vaccine needs to be removed from the recommended vaccine schedule, specifically for pregnant women and healthy children. Now, it doesn't mean that the vax is not available to anybody that wants it. They certainly can get it. It just means it's not on the recommended schedule. So what that means in reality, because there's a lot of anti-people out there suggesting that the vax is no longer available at all, that's certainly not true. It is available. It just means that because it's not on the recommended schedule, it may or may not be covered by your insurance provider. So in an issue where if a pregnant woman wanted to get the vaccine, she can get it. She may just have to pay out of pocket. How much does it cost? I have no idea because I'm not trying to get the vax, but I'm sure it's pretty reasonable. So there's a lot of information out there saying that choices are being taken away from women because it's not on the vaccine schedule anymore. And that's simply just not true. It is still 100% available. It's just not recommended for children, healthy children, and pregnant women. Now, it's still on the recommended schedule for people that have chronic diseases or people that are elderly because they are more susceptible to issues with COVID. So it is still on a recommended schedule, just not on the schedule for pregnant women and healthy children. So to me, that was a huge win that this got removed. I've not had the vax. My child's not had the vax. We have no intention of getting the vax. But in a lot of states, it's still on the schedule for kids to go to school. So this kind of helps alleviate some of that pressure by removing it from the CDC schedule or from the recommended schedule. So that is a humongous win for medical freedom. And we all need to be super excited about that step in the right direction. The other big thing that they're doing is a study on gender dysphoria among adolescents and children. Now, there's been a lot of information out there around gender dysphoria and how to treat that. I think most of us agree that gender affirming care is really and truly not an option. These issues are mental disorders and we need to be treating them as such, not taking physical measures to fix this. But they are doing this full study within the MAHA movement to really look into the gender dysphoria issues that are out there. Now, some studies have been done over the past couple of years on this. There's not a whole lot of, I believe, true science out there on the issue. But the one thing that is missing from all those studies that have taken place so far is that none of them have an aspect around ethical behavior or ethical responsibility in any of these approaches. So this new study around gender dysphoria will look at gender-affirming care, whether that's cross-sex hormones, it's puberty blockers, or it's full-on surgeries, and it'll look at that through an ethical lens. So yes, they can be done, but the question is, should they be done? And if not, what should the answer be? So this study is very unique in that aspect that it's pulling in that ethical view on how we're treating gender dysphoria. Now, they just started this a couple weeks ago, the beginning of May, so it's still very early in the process. But it's certainly one that I want to watch very closely and monitor. And when it's done, I can't wait to see the results. But I definitely want to be tracking it along the way because I think there's going to be a lot of really interesting information that comes out in that report. And then the last big thing they're doing at the MAHA kind of national level is they're really tackling the synthetic dyes that I mentioned the other day. The headline has been in the news recently about Skittles and how Skittles is removing titanium dioxide from their Skittles ingredient. Titanium dioxide is extremely dangerous. This is another one. I had no clue what it was, much less the impacts that it has on our children, but it's severe. The EU actually banned this in 2022. Like, it's that bad that the EU completely prohibited the use of titanium dioxide in any of its food products because it actually can alter or attack your DNA. Like, it's very severe. California attempted to prohibit its use in 2024. Now, ultimately, it didn't succeed, but I'm sure they're going to continue to try to get that prohibited. But having Skittles remove that is a huge win for our children because this stuff is so toxic for their little bodies. And of course, like most parents, we have no idea that it's there. We think, well, it's on the shelf, it must be safe. In reality, it's really not, and it's a really big win for us as parents that our kids' food no longer has basically what I would consider poison as an ingredient. So those are the three big things at a national level. They're doing so many other things, but those are the three that I wanted to talk about at a national level. And I want to bring it a little closer to home because you guys know me, I'm all for power back to the states. That's exactly how we need to be functioning in 90% of our business and day-to-day lives. The federal government can only do so much, but it's what's happening in our communities and our state that matters most to us as parents. So I want to talk about a couple of states that are bringing that MAHA movement home and they're taking action within their state to make their kids healthier and the adults. It's not just the kids. So a couple of states that I wanted to highlight. Texas has been in the news recently, kind of the same thing with the Skittles removing titanium dioxide. Texas passed a law this year. It's on its way to the governor's desk for signature, but they just passed it. That basically would require manufacturers of it's Mars Candy, I guess Candy Company is really the name of it. The maker of Skittles, M&M's, Mountain Dew, Gatorade, like a plethora of things that we see on the shelf every single day. That these manufacturers will have to put a label on them that says not fit for human consumption because of the ingredients in them. And a lot of it goes back to the synthetic dyes. The same items that are going to be labeled, and I think it's 40 different items that will have this label on there. The ingredients in these products have already been prohibited in Canada, Australia, the EU, and the UK. So this isn't some like new MAHA movement thing where people are just kind of going berserk. It's kind of like the United States coming up to par with all these other countries that have figured out the issues with the food supply. So this is a huge move for Texas and really hopefully the rest of the states to follow their lead in starting to force accountability measures with these products because most people are like me. You don't read the labels on your food. You have no idea what any of this stuff is. And you don't know what it's doing to your body and to your kids' bodies. So this is a big, big, big step forward for Texas alone. Hopefully it's something that other states can also follow and try to implement in their states. So Texas, as always, you're leading the way. A couple other states I wanted to highlight, and I think I hit on this one last time, is West Virginia. They've passed a law that prohibits, I think it's 7 different food dyes in their school lunch program. So the food dyes can still be used in West Virginia, but in terms of what schools are allowed to purchase and supply to children, there are 7 different dyes that cannot be used. That is a huge win for kids. I mean, most parents have no idea what their kids are eating at school anyways. You definitely don't know what's going into it. So this is a huge, huge, huge win for parents. Another one, and we've seen this a lot. We actually had this bill filed here in Alabama. It didn't pass, didn't really get off the ground, but it kind of filed a little late, so it is what it is. But West Virginia is prohibiting the SNAP program or food stamps from purchasing Coke products. And not Coke, but, you know, soda type things. A lot of states did that. And I have to reference my list because there are so many big wins out there on the MAHA movement that I can remember them all. Utah is another one. They have banned fluoride in their drinking water. We're seeing that a lot across the country. I know here in Madison City, they've also stopped adding fluoride to their drinking water. It actually started in the month of June. So a big win from a local perspective that that's being removed, but it's just in this particular city. It's not a statewide effort. Whereas in Utah, the entire state has said, we're no longer adding fluoride in our drinking water. They too have also prohibited the SNAP program from purchasing sodas. That's a big one. And then they too have prevented certain dyes and chemicals from being included in their school meal programs. And it's the same thing. It's not that they're banned completely in the state. It's just that schools cannot purchase products that have those dyes and chemicals in it. So again, another huge win for the health of our children. Indiana, they kind of took the SNAP program a little bit further. Not only did they prohibit the purchase of sodas, but you also cannot purchase junk food or candy. That was a huge one. They have gone so far as to require manufacturers to include additional labels that talk about the ingredients that are in their products. So it's kind of a transparency into the ingredients of what they're selling. That was a really big one. And they also have prohibited harmful dyes in their food. And then Arizona, this was a big one for me. They too have attacked the SNAP program and said no more sodas. But they also have passed something called the Arizona Healthy Schools Act. And this was a big one for me. I cannot wait to dig into this one and really try to bring this here to Alabama. It doesn't just deal with chemicals and dyes. It deals with ultra processed foods. That is a huge win for Arizona kids because so much of the food that we see in the school lunches are ultra processed. Not just school lunches. A lot of what we see in general is ultra processed foods. One of my son's favorite things to get at school lunch is called Crispitos. It's basically like a little tortilla shell with meat and cheese stuffed inside and then they fry it. You can buy them anywhere. He loves them. Like I normally pack his lunch for school. But if they have Crispitos, he does not eat the lunch I made for him. He eats what is the Crispitos at school. They're disgusting looking, but he loves them and he will devour them. We even have to have them at home. So when he wants them at home, he can have them. That's how much he likes them. But they're ultra processed. Like there's so many additives and preservatives in there. There's no telling what's in it that I don't even understand. So this Arizona law will actually prohibit all of that ultra processed stuff and really force school lunches to focus on being healthy and nutritious for our children. So that one kind of hit home for me because we have too much ultra processed food in our lives. I personally tried to limit that in my home, but it's really hard. It's very hard, especially when you've got little kids that are playing sports. You kind of have to do the things that are quick and easy, and ultimately that ends up being highly processed foods. So this is a big win for Arizona. I'm watching that one closely. I've already pulled the bill. I've emailed my legislative partners and said, hey, this is something we need to look at for the state of Alabama. How can we do something similar to really clean up the lunches in our public schools? Because I am a firm believer that we need to be teaching our kids to eat healthier. We need to teach them healthy habits in eating earlier. And we've got to get them outside playing more. They've got to get off devices. They've got to get out of the house. They've got to get out of the classroom. They need to be outdoor, unstructured play around other kids so they can really develop the skills they need to survive longer in life. So this bill is kind of the foundation of getting to that point. So it's a really exciting step for our country that we're starting to look so closely at what our kids are being fed when they're at school. And I'm very excited about the possibility of bringing this here to Alabama. So that's kind of a recap of what's going on with the MAHA movement from a federal level down to the state level and to some extent what's happening locally in our communities. So if MAHA is a big thing for you, if health is a big thing for you, I encourage you to go out to their website and really look and see what all they're doing. There's a ton of activity within the MAHA movement. The things I talked about today are really just the tip of the iceberg. They're also looking into research into baby formula and the nutritional value in it, how much metal and contaminants are in it. I mean, it's a very broad research project that they're doing. There's not been a research project on baby formula since 1998. Like it's been a really long time, 30 years, and we've not assessed the health and the nutritional value of how we're formulating baby formula. So they're doing a lot of stuff. So if you're really on the health side of things, I encourage you to go look at their website. I think it's literally just maha.gov. I could be wrong. Google MAHA and it'll pop up. It's very easy. But lots of studies, lots of reports that are out there. So go look at it, find something that's interesting, learn something new like I do. So it's been an interesting one to look into. And along the way, as I was doing research for all of this, I kind of started going down the rabbit hole of AI and how it's being used in the classroom or not being used in the classroom. So I'm hoping that I can cover that next week because it's definitely one that's popping up more and more every day in conversations. So I hope that you enjoyed this. I hope to see you next week. And as always, guys, thanks for stopping by.